All right, we are back here today with Table Talk, a show brought to you by InferenceSwap.com and InferenceSwap Radio on your Google Play and iTunes. I'm really excited to be here with you. My name is John Pappas. You might be wondering, what is this show about? Well, we get around a table and we talk about God's mission and discipleship. And lately, we've been talking about how that discipleship is revealed to us through Scripture. So we've been looking at the book of John. Now, last week, we talked about John, I think, 1:35 to 42. And we're going to pick it up from there and talk about 1:43 to 53. And what we're asking is, as we see what Scripture reveals to us, what does it mean to be a disciple? Now, the beauty of the gospel story is as it unfolds from the beginning, we find that Jesus always starts in a place where people are included. In reality, that's his posture. He never starts from exclusion, and therefore, there's no religion in him at all. So his posture is always about who potentially is in him. Right? And so he's looking to allow everyone to get to him and live in him and through him. And so his posture is never like ours, which is we sort of decide who is in and who is out based on a lot of different variables. But what we see in the beginning of these passages here in John is we see that Jesus does call us to follow him. And when we think of that term of following, we literally mean the term follow, which means get behind him and sort of tread on his heels. And that's what it means to follow somebody. We're going to go where he goes. We're going to follow his lead, right? And that's what following actually means. So this is exactly what Jesus is calling us. He's calling us to follow him, and he's calling the disciples into being discipled by following him and checking out and thinking about the things that he's putting forth in front of them. And so that when they weigh all of that, is he who he says he is, and is he doing the work of God? So it sort of puts us in an awkward place when we realize that we're called to go where he's going and do what he's been doing. And we find that what Jesus is asking of us is that our life, our thoughts, and most of all, our footsteps are going and following what he's doing. So Jesus is literally then asking for primacy in our lives. In this, we find that Jesus is really asking more than just quasi-belief. He's asking for us to follow him, but he's asking us to step into what he's doing and put footsteps into his lead. Does that make sense? Now, for them, that's a little bit easier because they saw him. Now, we find, because of his work, that the Holy Spirit, whether we believe or don't believe, is leading us towards Jesus always. And we reject that or we walk into that. And that takes faith to step into that. And so what Jesus is really asking us is more than just, hey, believe. He's asking us to trust him, to put faith in him. And what this brings to light is the reality of our walk today with him. Because it asks us what we see all over the New Testament, which is there were many who said they would follow Jesus anywhere, right? There was many that would come and say, hey man, I'll go wherever you go, I'll do whatever you do. But what they meant by that was they'll follow him anywhere they had control of and not necessarily anywhere God would take them. And so what we see time and time again, especially as the book gets towards the end, the book of John gets towards the end when Jesus is going to the cross, that no one really wanted to follow Jesus to the cross, but that was exactly where he was taking them. And that's the reason we need faith, because when we place our lives in his hands and we say, we'll follow you, Lord, we will be a disciple. Yeah, I know you're saying come and see, but so as I take that step into that journey, we have to be prepared to go to the cross, because the call of Christ is to go to the cross. And so in essence, that meant that there were many that would not go to where Jesus was going, But he always had a crowd around him, so that also meant that there was what we would call hangers-on, right? There were many that were interested observers of Jesus, fascinated by Jesus, but they weren't really willing to go where he wanted to go and be who they called him to be, and therefore they were just hangers-on instead of actual disciples. See, disciples follow. They put footsteps in faith to trust in the Lord no matter where he goes. And then we have interested observers that sort of are watching, right? See, Jesus was making for us a place and an ability to trust him by going to the cross. You know, we can't trust God without God, because that's how far we are in sin. So we have to take up our cross, and we have to be willing to go where we can't see, because we can't really see what is good, what is right, what is the thing that God is doing in the big picture, all of those things. So we have to be able to step into what he's doing in faith. And even in the story in the Gospels with Andrew and John and James and Peter and Paul and all the Gospels and all the apostles, they, even though they could see, they still had to move forward in faith, because they couldn't see the long game, if you will. Well, when we walk in faith, we move from being interested observers into those who actually seek out his footsteps. We actually start following him and treading on his footsteps. So scripture shows us that faith isn't always seeing, but it is always believing. You know what I'm saying? Yet we also know that there were many hangers-on, some like Jesus for their own reasons, and that didn't necessarily make them disciples. It might have made them religious, it might have made them feel a certain way, but it didn't necessarily walk them into the things that God were calling to. And I think we need to be aware of those things. Scripture shows us, and I'm going to repeat this again, that there were many people that just were hangers-on. Some like being part of the crowd that was around Jesus, because Jesus always drew a crowd. Some were enamored with personality, because Jesus definitely must have been a charismatic and an intense person that was full of truth and spirituality. So they were attracted to that personality. Some were there on principle because they wanted to be right. They wanted to have that right knowledge that they could hold over other people just to tell them they were wrong. You know what I'm saying? And you know I can relate to this list. Others were affected traumatically in life. They had traumatic things happen in their life, and they were just hoping to feel better because they saw and they sort of had this intense feeling that Jesus could heal them or do a miracle. And so they sort of hung out around Jesus so they would feel better, like he was their therapist or something. And then finally, some people were just enamored by the miracles and the blessings themselves, and they just want the blessing, and they'll be in as long as they see blessing or they feel spiritual. But despite all of that, put yourself in their shoes. Maybe you are a hanger-on. Maybe you like being part of the crowd. Maybe you are attracted to charismatic personalities. Maybe you just want the truth and you like being right and holding that over others and telling them they're wrong. Maybe you have had a traumatic experience in your life and you're just looking to feel better and hoping Jesus will be that for you. Maybe you're just enamored by spirituality or spiritual gifts. Maybe that's you. And it's not that God doesn't work in all of those areas, but if that's all you're enamored with, what you'll find is those things will never be enough. They will never be good enough, and they certainly aren't the calling that Jesus calls us to as disciples. Part of discipleship is the call to make Jesus your highest priority. That relationship, that intense knowledge of knowing him and allowing him to know you, which means you have to be known. You have to put yourself out there. So in that means you would step into faith. You would step into your own death in order to make all other things less prioritized in your life. In other words, he would become your biggest priority, and you would align the rest of your life around that relationship, around that knowledge, around that truth, around his ways, right? But overall, what that means when you make him a priority is that you'll follow him, right? So this means when we prioritize Jesus, that things change in our lives, in our hearts, in our footsteps, in our thinking. It means our loves change. Our love for others change. That the selfish part of us will begin to dither and die. And the rising up of the true substances of God in life begin to arise in your heart. And so disciples, if you notice, the disciples in the Bible, they did not start with themselves, right? They started by walking and awakening to the work of Jesus around Jesus. That's what's so interesting about the way discipleship is in the New Testament. Jesus didn't huddle them around and give them a bunch of information and say, take that, chew on it, and come back to me in the morning. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus began to work in their lives by working in other people's lives. Isn't that crazy? And then they awakened to the reality of this man called Jesus is more than a man. That this reality that we're living in, there's more to it than what we are seeing through our own selves. That life that they began to experience in God, they began to experience in others first. Then it seeped into their hearts. And that's a really good lesson for us when it comes to discipleship. You know, I was watching the television the other day, and I saw this guy named Mike Lindell, and I don't know if you know who that is, but he's the founder and creator of MyPillow. And he began to speak about his life. And if you know anything about this guy, he went from being a complete drug addict to, you know, who was just a wreck, a nightmare. And he was at his wit's end, and he was hanging on by a rope. But he went from that to an owner and executive of one of the biggest companies in the world. And we've all seen his MyPillow commercials, right? So when he began to speak of his story, there were two major things that happened to him, which were really one thing. One was that when he was at his wit's end, he broke down, got on his knees, and he made Jesus the Lord over every area of his life. Jesus became the main focus, the highest priority, the center of gravity for him. And that center of gravity, when he did that, it allowed him to follow Jesus and then take that same focus and apply it to his life. A person like that, to go from where he was to where he is now, had to hear the call. And that call was to allow Jesus to be the center of gravity. And that is the call into discipleship. We have to let Jesus become the center of our lives and literally become the center of gravity to our lives. And what does that mean? Well, gravity means everything in your life is being pulled to that center. And so to have Jesus as the center of gravity gives us a very simple touch point that helps, that we can go through, if you will, that will inform everything in our lives, our identity, our values, our meaning, our purpose, our significance, our choices, who we'll hang out with, what we will and will not do. That's what it means to prioritize Jesus as a disciple. He becomes the touch point for all the decisions and outcomes in our lives. And in our case, we know on the other side of the cross that Jesus has given us the third person of the Trinity, which is the Holy Spirit, to be a helper to us so that he will help prioritize things in our life. He will help prioritize our time, how to schedule our time, how to schedule where we'll go and what we'll do, what we will and will not do, who we will love and what we will not love, right? And that's, we need that in our life. And so I sort of like reference that to, like, you know, when you drive, if you're a driver, if you're listening to this and you're a truck driver, are you just like driving? You don't drive on all the lanes, right? You don't drive on the wrong lanes and the right lanes. You don't drive all over the road. What we often do is we pick a lane and we drive in it, and that lane gets us from point A to point B. And that's what we have to think of when it comes to discipleship, is we have to choose to be a disciple, trust in the Lord, walk in faith, and allow him to be the center of our gravity and stay in that lane. And Jesus, when we do that, he keeps us from going all over the road and taking off ramps to nowhere, or to go to places that we know if we go down those roads, that they're not going to lead to the places we want to go, and oftentimes it'll lead us right to where we got off of. And so to avoid all of that, if Jesus is the center of our lives, we can find that he will keep us on the right path. It doesn't mean it's an easy path. It doesn't mean it's the a path that doesn't have ups and downs or hills and valleys, but what it does mean is it's the right road, right? Well, that's what it means to keep Jesus as the center of our heart, as the center of gravity. Now, what's the opposite of that? Well, the opposite of gravity is zero gravity, which means there's nothing that pulls you to it. There's nothing to be pulled towards. It's this endless floating around and wandering around, and it doesn't do anything but help you wander and float, right? And you just sort of go off on a whim, and you do this because it feels good, because it feels good at the time. And you're just sort of all over the place. And you see, the center of a when you have a center of gravity like Jesus, you have this thing that even the smallest things are affected by it. But when you don't have it, then things are just disorientated all over the place. Now, let me give you an example of what I mean. I want you to think about being in space and then being here on Earth, okay? We know in space there's no gravity. Here on Earth, we have the pull of gravity, right? And so how does that affect the smallest things we do? Well, consider right now pouring a glass of milk or a soda into a glass. We know exactly where that stream will go when we pour it into a glass. We'll see that stream flow right from that soda or the milk into the glass, right? However, imagine if you did the same thing on the moon where there is no gravity. You see, when there is zero gravity, you have no idea when you pour that milk or that soda or whatever it is, where the heck that thing will go. It could go all over the place. You see, when you have gravity, for example, if you took a screwdriver to screw in a screw, if you will, when you have gravity, you turn the screwdriver and it turns the screw. But if you did that in space, you'd turn the screw and it turns you, because there's no gravity. And so it's so important to have a center of gravity in our lives. And without it, our lives become spiritually and morally just weightless and disoriented, and we don't know which way is up and down. You see, discipleship has to be like that. When Jesus isn't the center of our lives, we sort of become like a leaf that's sort of blowing in the wind, and it'll just go whichever way the wind's blowing. And we'll find ourselves like, with that kind of life, it's just a shallow life that'll have its moments of what we think is fun, but at the end it becomes boring and it becomes really meaningless. And that's not the life that God's called us to. So Jesus is really calling us to follow him, to trust him, and to put him as your number one priority. Now, there's really no way. I want you to think about that. When you're just floating out there with no gravity and you don't have Jesus as a center, I want you to think about the conflicting feelings and emotions we have from a day-to-day basis. there's no way to discern them if we don't have that certain something that's pivotal to our life, that is prioritized in our life, that is the center of who we are. There's no way to discern those conflicting feelings and emotions in our heart when we don't have a point of gravity to hone in on. Your actions and your feelings are really disoriented, and you're just living up and down, and you're floating from one decision, whether it's good or bad, to the next. And you will not know how to ignore what you should ignore, trust what you should trust, or walk away from the things that you shouldn't do. You know what I'm saying? So it's really important that we have this relationship with Jesus that he's calling us into. Notice that he's asking us to come follow him, right? Follow his lead, follow where he's going, follow him, meaning inviting you into his life. You know, when you don't have that, then you get invited into other things. Things that burn us out, things that are exhausting, things that are sort of boring, or things that we think is exciting at the moment that leaves us hollow. You see, the call of discipleship is a call of substance, it's a call of depth, it's a call of following, it's a call to action, and it calls us to throw down religion and measuring rods, because Jesus didn't measure like that. Jesus didn't do those kind of things, and he wasn't looking for his people to be or find an identity in those things. He's looking to transform and develop you, and the only way to do that is to come into a relationship and follow as he leads, go where he goes. And the reason we're talking about discipleship today and every time we do this is because oftentimes we're hangers-on. Oftentimes we're spending an inordinate amount of time doing things he never did. And our gravity, our center is on something else. And it's easy to find something else. It's easy to lose focus and put it somewhere else. So the question for us is, how do we really keep Jesus at the center? How do we get this center of gravity and start on this journey? And so the last part I want to talk about today is Jesus tells us right in the scriptures, and we can see it over and over again, especially in these opening scriptures, he really asks us to come and see. Because he is that one thing. He is the center of gravity. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the creator and sustainer. He is the light and life. He is the truth and the way. He is that one thing. He's calling you into a relationship with them. So there's more to it than being an interesting observer from a seat, a fanboy from the fans in the stands. No, to take those steps means we have to do something that Americans hate. We have to come to him on terms of obedience, but not obedience like we would think in the American West. And so let me explain that a little bit. In the scripture, especially in John 1:32 through 52, if you will, in the beginning of that, we see that Jesus is saying, come and see, come and see. But when Andrew and John approach Jesus, they called out to him. They said, hey, Rabbi, and they asked him where he lives. Now, what this means is they were willing to sit under Jesus and learn from him. They had a better understanding of discipleship than we do all these years away. You see, the word disciple means full-time learner, but it doesn't mean learning like we do in the approach to the American West school systems. How we learn is basically we take a class, we take some credit hours, we load up on classes from like 8 in the morning till 5 at night, and we learn during that time, and that would be considered a heavy load. But being a New Testament disciple, they understood that being a disciple or a full-time learner means so much more than that. It means to leave all else behind, to live with that teacher, to follow him where he goes. And it was more than just an intellectual relationship. It was based on obedience, but not merely obedience to rituals or participation in services. It was literally a following that didn't understand fully where in the moment they were at, where Jesus was going, but walked with him anyway. And we find even now, right now, that's what Jesus is still calling us into. He's not calling us into intellectual ascent. He's calling us into a lifestyle that is intentional about following him where he is in the people around you. And that doesn't necessarily mean in the Christians around you. You see, Jesus was the masters of those disciples' life. He took it upon them to restructure everything in their life to show them essentially what they should prioritize and what they should be doing. So in a true learning state in discipleship, what we find is we have to restructure our life. And that's something that scares the crap out of Americans, who are scared because they've seen what religion has done. They've felt what religion has done. There's horror story after horror story about religion in absolute power and a religion on a smaller level to people that rule like the pagans rule in absolute power and hierarchy. You know what I'm saying? So we get scared about a consent to absolute authority and obedience to Americans or something we literally intrinsically hate. And I have that as much as anybody else. But here's the beauty of God in Jesus, is that what we forget when we talk about obedience, excuse me, there's the COVID cough, right? What we forget about this idea of obedience is that none of us are capable of being obedient. Sure, we're obedient at times, but most of the time we're not obedient. And in our lives, what we're blind to our disobedience. We're blind to our sinfulness, right? And there was only one that has been fully obedient, and that is Jesus. And that is good news for us who are willing to submit our lives to him and make and prioritize him and move from interested observer into discipleship. Because discipleship helps us understand that Jesus is the one who's obedient, and he's working out obedience in our lives in the process of drawing near with him, not through rituals, not through rites or regulations or have to's or don't do's, but in relationship with us built on grace. And so in him, we find that obedience brings life. It brings knowledge and it transforms us, but not just purely as an intellectual exercise or revolved around regulations like law or have to's and don't do's. Biblical faith and discipleship goes beyond all of that. It goes beyond agreeing on concepts. It goes beyond taking steps into rituals, right? Being a disciple is being disciplined enough to live out what he's called us to live out and trusting in him that even though we don't understand why we would talk to that person or this person or that people group as opposed to that people group, we go because he's there and because he's calling us there, and we grasp those ideas of what he's trying to say to us, just like Andrew and John and Peter had to grasp what Jesus was doing as Jesus went to others. And we begin that conversation on him in dependence because he's going beyond where we would normally go. So we actually journey with him to grasp ideas. You see how we do that? It's more than we go to a place that defines, for example, grace for us. We go to a place that defines the concept of theology or spirituality or spiritual gifts or salvation. No, we're looking beyond that. We're grasping text as it's given to us, for example, like here in the book of John, and we're going, okay, this is what he's calling us to live out, and we're going to allow that to shape our life. And what we find in doing that is we gain trust and dependency on the Lord through the Holy Spirit, and he begins to define grace in our lives. He begins to define spirituality that has feet on them, not just religious exercises. And he begins to shape in us him and bring life to the dead parts of our life. And then we begin to crucify those things in him. I mean, this is a big deal. But what this takes is an understanding that we have to come and follow him, that we have to go with him to the things that he called us to, even though we might not understand it all, even though we don't understand why those people that he's calling us to. And notice that he will help us find ourselves as we go to the others, as we literally love others as God has loved us. So this is what it means to be a disciple. God wants to move us again from this quasi-belief of interested of an observer into a faith walk that puts faith and footsteps to their spiritual reality, and that is willing not to know the full answer, but to get the answers on the way. You see, when we view Jesus as a religion instead of a person, what in essence we do is revolve the religion of Jesus around structures, systems, principles, rules, and expressions. But if Jesus is a person who is fully God, then like any other relationship, what we find is in order to obtain obedience, we need relationship. And like any other relationship, what this means for us Americans who hate that word obedience is that there's a give and take in order for that relationship to work. I want you to think about your relationship with your spouse. You know, if they don't give or take and you don't give or take, it's a terrible relationship, right? If they give and you give and they take and you give, they take what you're giving and you take what they're giving, and we find the boundaries of that relationship, what we find is actual a freedom in that relationship. And we begin to discover needs and wants and things that we will accept and things that we won't accept, and sacrifices and freedoms needed to maintain that relationship. I think this is exactly how it is with obedience with God. What we find is that there's really true freedom in that relationship. And when we define obedience in him, and we find things that please him and things that hurt us, and we accept that even though we don't understand things that he says hurt us, if we accept that, we find us growing closer to the reality of God, not just this quasi-religious thing, but to the person of Jesus. And in it, we find freedom. It's really crazy. Now, aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't treat us like an inanimate object, like this glass that's in front of me or my phone that's in front of me? He doesn't do that. They don't have any will or any claim on you. They don't have any goals that you need to surrender to. They don't have any desires that you need to help them attain or maintain, right? So if we're not willing to give or take, to explore our goals, to fulfill desires and give them and take them, and be in the give and take game of obedience in a relationship, then you really aren't in a relationship, are you? You're just doing your thing and expecting the other person to like you like as you do your thing, with no real feelings towards themselves. That's not a relationship. Jesus wants more for us in that. So that's why following him isn't so important. It matters to him your life, your desires, your values. And so it's weird to me when the world tells us, well, we should be able to do what makes us feel good and it doesn't matter, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's fine, but that's the most selfish thing in the planet. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no real relationship or fulfillment in any of that. There's no substance to it. God gives us substance. So, having said all that, we have to come to Him in obedience, but that obedience is a positive thing. It's how we know Him. It's how we know His ways. It's how He knows us. It's how He shapes our ways. It's how we learn to trust Him. It's how He finds out what areas we don't trust Him. And it's how we learn to love Him and how he sees who we love and what we love more than Him. And what we find is that He's not lacking like we are. So we can go to Him to get the power of those things to help us how to learn to love others. You know, I hear this in introverted people all the time. Well, I'm introverted and I'm not liking to be around people and blah, 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 blah. But guys, we're called to follow Him to the cross, to follow Him in obedience to His way and to trust Him there. So we don't have the excuse or the luxury, if we really want to be a disciple, not to step out of ourselves and into the potentials that God has for us. So obedience is really just another expression of how Jesus is working in us and how He works in us and how we allow Him to work in us. You know, you just can't have discipleship without it. All right, well, I've spoken a lot today and there's been a lot given to you here today, and I hope this is just something that you will listen to a little bit over and over again. So let's sum it up. We don't want to be hangers-on. We don't want to be a person that follows the crowd or drives or is driven by personality, charismatic personalities. We don't want to be looking just for spirituality and blessing. We don't want to be somebody who is just a hanger-on or an interested observer. Jesus calls us to discipleship, which is a call to come and die, which is a call to come and follow Him and see. But that means we have to actually follow and go. What we're learning here also is that Jesus will often take us to a people group, and it's through learning to be in relationship with them that He begins to work in us on how, and give us the grace, by the way, to handle those relationships and how to develop discipleship, not only in us, but how to do it with others. And those are huge things you can't learn in a classroom or as an interested observer, can you? We also learn that discipleship is really an act of obedience, but not obedience as the world puts it, where it's a hierarchy and a system and a structure that lords over people and tells them what to do, right? No, we're talking about literally the give and take of a relationship, and which is the main goal of Jesus, to come and follow Him, to be in relationship, to walk with Him, and He teaches you on the way and in that journey. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening today. I got to tell you, this has spoken to me. I hope it speaks to you. This was a really good a podcast and a really good talk. Enjoy it. Pray about it. Ask yourself, what are you? Are you an interested observer? Or are you a disciple that is going to go and do as God called? All right. I love you guys. We will see you on the next podcast. Until then, this is John Pappas for InferenceSwap.com and especially for today's table talk. Signing off. I will see you later. Bye.